Good afternoon, New York, and the rest of our listeners around the globe. My name is June Stoyer, and I'm the host of the Organic View Radio Show. Our podcast is available on iTunes, Zune, and all major podcast providers. So if you can't catch the show live, you can download it or simply use our free podcast player, which is available on our website at www.theorganicview.com. If you'd like to connect with us, please post a question on our wall on Facebook or send me a tweet at June Stoyer on Twitter. If you'd like to be on the show or would like to find out about sponsorship opportunities, please contact us at questions@theorganicview.com. Today's show is sponsored by Austria's Finest Naturally Authentic Pumpkin Seeds and Pumpkin Seed Oil from the Steiermark, available at organicuniverse.com. Listeners of The Organic View can receive $1 off their purchase by using the coupon code ORGVIEW. That's ORGVIEW. Also, don't forget to check out our contest section on our website to submit your information for our free monthly giveaways. For more information, please visit our website at www.theorganicview.com/contests. Recently, an American dentist paid $50,000 to shoot and kill a lion in Africa. This lion was well known and beloved by tourists and locals in Zimbabwe. His name was Cecil. Although the world was outraged, what this man did was perfectly legal. Although groups like Lion Aid and White Lion Trust, amongst others, have been educating the world about the dwindling global lion population, they still are not a protected species. On today's show, Stephen Travis, president of ProtectingAfricanLions.org, is going to talk about efforts to globally ban canned hunting and trophy hunting. So I'd like to welcome to the show, Steve Travis.
Good morning. Hi, June. How are you?
Can you share with the listeners a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I'm the president of the Protecting African Lions Foundation, and come to this having been born in South Africa and spent most of my life there, now living in the UK. The whole issue around the wild lion and lion population in general started causing me some alarm about 3 or 4 years ago, which is why I got involved with this foundation.
Steve, could you explain to our listeners what exactly canned hunting and trophy hunting are?
Sure. Canned hunting is where lions are basically bred and brought up on lion farms in a caged situation. So they're bred. The cubs are taken away from their mothers at a couple of days old. And this is where you have tourists coming along and petting the lion cubs and feeding them bottles of milk. These lions have now been humanized, so they will never be able to go back out in the wild. When they become too big to actually be cuddled, they then become walking for lion experience lions, where tourists can go for a walk with them. And at about the age of 2, when this lion is outgrown the walking experience, they're then kept in cages, usually in quite horrific conditions, and they fed and watered until such time as their manes fill out and it becomes a nice, attractive-looking lion who's then basically put on the market to be shot. And these hunters, or sportsmen as they like to call themselves, will come in and take out a lion in an enclosure of about 2,000 acres, not a lot of space, no fair chase, no skill involved, no tracking of the lion, and hence the term canned hunting, because that lion's in the can. The net result is that that canned hunter becomes a trophy hunter, because all he takes away is the head and neck with the mane to be mounted on his wall or above a mantelpiece at his home. And it's actually quite a despicable practice. The cruelty to the animals is second to none.
Steve, isn't it true that hunters do not support these practices?
It is true. I mean, a lot of the hunting associations have come out and actually said that there's no fair game here. This is not a sport. This is not, you know, there was no skill involved. There's no tracking. It's essentially murder in a cage.
How is it possible that this is completely legal?
Unfortunately, the lion is not listed as an endangered or threatened species. To the best of my knowledge, There are only about 4,500 lions left in Africa, but we can't verify this because a proper census across the continent hasn't been carried out for over a decade, if not longer. And because there's these farms with about 8,000 to 10,000 lions in captivity, some people think, well, there's lots of lions left. However, they're not wild lions, and they can never become wild lions.
Why do people go to these facilities? Is it for the thrill of killing an animal? What have you been able to find out as far as the justification for these types of heinous actions?
It's quite interesting when you just look at what excuses people give after they've done this deed. There cannot be any real satisfaction taken from killing an animal as majestic as a lion, as important as a lion. And once this is done, what generally happens is that the hunter, in inverted commas, is saying that this was a sport lion, it was an aged lion, it was ill. There are always a load of excuses as to why they've gone to hunt down the lion. And ultimately, they do it in the name of their sport.
Steve, can you take a moment and talk about poaching? Who is involved with poaching? Where do these body parts go to? And how financially lucrative is this industry?
Well, poaching is still a huge issue across the whole of Africa. The continent is still rife with it. However, I believe there's been an upsurge in recent years, particularly in the black market trade, where poachers are going out, taking out an elephant or a rhino or a lion, for example. That ivory is then sold back into the black market. There have been links to terrorist organizations that have been funding these poaching expeditions. And, you know, at the end of the day, the actual poacher who's on the front line and is the most likely person to be shot, he's probably getting very little for the deeds and the activities he's carrying out. However, it is a hugely lucrative market, which, you know, I believe organized crime are involved in.
When it comes to the slaughter of wild animals, especially big game, how big of an industry is this, as far as if you could put a monetary value on it, what would you say this industry is worth?
I'd say the canned lion hunting industry is probably worth about $1 billion in today's money, whereas tourism's worth 10 times that. So I'd rather see the animals in the wild than see them on a wall.
Which countries are primarily responsible for participating in these types of heinous acts?
Yeah, I'm sorry to say it, but most of those hunters are actually coming from the United States, with a large proportion also coming across from Central Europe, Germany, France, and the like. But I would say over 65-70% of the hunting is coming in from the United States.
In regards to the law, Steve, from what I understand, PAL is now involved with the formation of a law to ban these practices on a global scale. Can you share with the listeners exactly what your plans are and what the law will entail?
Sure. After the death of Cecil, Cecil was one lion who died, but what he did is he created a worldwide phenomenon where everybody was woken up to this industry. PAL is supporting and has called for the introduction of what we're calling Cecil's Law, which basically we would like affiliated with any act of parliament or any act of government across the world that puts in controls to ban canned hunting, to ban the import of trophy hunting, and to stop trophy hunters traveling abroad, to actually call these laws or put these laws under the title of Cecil's Law.
What are the chances of having this pass?
I'm actually really positive about it. I mean, in the States today, they're already talking about looking in bringing in bills, controlling the import of lion parts, or the Big Five, as they call it, which are the the Trophy Hunters Ultimate, as the five big game from South Africa, or from anywhere in Africa for that matter. So it's I think the momentum is there, and I would like to think that under this, Cecil would not have died in vain.
I couldn't agree more. There are a number of initiatives that have come out since, especially one in particular by Senator Brad Hoyleman. Could you share with our listeners exactly what that initiative is and why it's so beneficial, especially in America?
Well, Brad, I found, is to be quite positive in terms of wanting to protect the wildlife around the world. And with the American population being the largest of the hunting fraternity that come out to South Africa and Africa to hunt these animals, having people like Brad actually supporting the banning of the importing of these trophies into the United States is very helpful. My understanding is that a trophy can actually be brought in as a personal possession. So you could effectively walk into the country with your trophy under your arm. I remember from my trips to the States, I couldn't walk in with an apple, let alone with a lion head.
And yet this is perfectly legal.
It is, unfortunately.
So this law would prohibit the importation of any of these animal parts through the airports?
100%. We'd like to stop it in all ports, so whether it be air, sea, or rail, whichever means to actually bring the parts into the country should be blocked. Australia, the first country to have stood up in March this year and actually banned the import of all trophies into Australia by any means.
Your organization does an awful lot of work to raise awareness about the need to protect not only lions but other animals. Can you share with the listeners what exactly the local women of South Africa are doing in order to contribute to your organization and also bring about sustainability?
Sure. Our whole foundation is based around the local population, the land and the people and the animals. So PAL, as an organization, we have charity bracelets which help us raise funds for the organization. And all of these bracelets are hand braided by a group of women that work for us in our stores and our factories in South Africa, Johannesburg. And that income that they earn from working for us actually helps them sustain their livelihoods for themselves and their families. They only use local product. Everything's handmade. And even the buttons, the brass buttons, are all hand cast in South Africa. So it's the charity actually employing people that are sustaining their livelihoods in the local community.
So say if somebody in America wants to purchase one of the bracelets, where would they go and how much would this cost?
They're $21, and they're available through protectingafricanlions.org, and we ship worldwide. So, yes, thank you.
And exactly how much of that money is going back to these women?
The $8 goes back into the production cost for the raw ingredients and for the women that actually make the bracelets themselves. And the other $13 go direct to lion charities where they're dealing with lions, community, and the land on the ground.
Thank you. Now, speaking of lion organizations, who are some of the organizations that you support and are partnered with?
Well, we're very big supporters of the Global White Lion Protection Trust. Linda Tucker and her team are doing phenomenal things on the ground. They're creating a fantastic sustainable community around the Thimbivati, which is the home of the white lions in South Africa. And the whole spirituality and the whole feel of the foundation is quite exceptional. It's everybody's about giving back, and that's something that we really like to align ourselves with. We work with a number of charities. I work with all NGOs and all charities across the UK, Lion Aid, Campaign Against Canned Hunting, the whole team. And we all work together and try and actually just raise this issue more and more and more.
Lion Aid has been tremendous. they have done such an amazing job letting people know exactly what is going on with the global population of lions, as well as their efforts to raise awareness about the fact that they need to be protected and what people should and should not be doing, especially when they're traveling in regards to these, as you mentioned earlier in the interview, these lion walks and these other events that actually contribute to the demise of the lion species. There's also a book that I just want to mention that was written by Matthew Payne, who's done a tremendous amount of work with Lion Aid, and it's called The Father's Pride. And it tells the story about what life is like as far as canned hunting, and it's based upon his own father's personal experiences. And for every sale of the book, the profits go directly to Lion Aid. So I just want to mention that Matthew has been on the show before, and he's just such a lovely person, and he's also very devoted to this cause. So I just wanted to mention him. And I know you know him too, Steve.
I do, and I have a lot of time and a lot of respect for Matthew. I mean, his book is fantastic. What he's doing with the proceeds from that book is even better. But he is a really humble, down-to-earth, well-educated man with his heart totally in the right place. I've got a lot of time and respect for him.
Me too. Steve, how can people get involved with your efforts to push through Cecil's Law?
I think if we can make the term Cecil's Law, as part of our day-to-day speak, if we use it when we're talking on social media, if we speak and write to our senators, our governors, our local members of parliament, the European parliamentary members, and calling for the use of this for Cecil's Law to be used as the term across all legislation going forward, I think that'll help a lot. I mean, there is a global interest in what's going on at the moment, and you know, for Cecil's sake, I think we need to keep up that momentum.
We certainly do, and especially since his death did strike a chord with the global population and people now understand what has happened and why, I think this is the perfect time to get people to support this type of initiative. It's never been done before, and I'm pretty confident, Steve, that what you're doing will happen. I think it's the right time, and it needs to happen.
Thank you, June. I couldn't agree with you more.
Now, Steve, you also have a number of events coming up. Can you share some of these activities with our listeners?
Yes, with pleasure. And it's quite exciting. I believe that there's a march going on around New York in October, on the 4th of October. But Pal's going to be involved with the supporting the film Bloodlines in London on the 27th and 28th of November, as well as supporting a official March for Lions in London on the 28th. And we are all encouraging all the other cities around the world to participate in a march on the same day.
How can people get involved with PAL and support all of your efforts?
We're on all social media at Protect Lions. That's on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, through our website, which is protectingafricanlions.org. And all of your support and your exposure and your help is much appreciated, and certainly by the Lions.
My pleasure. Steve, I just want to say thank you so much for being on the show today. It's always great to talk to people such as yourself who are doing so much to bring about great change on a global scale.
June, thank you. And we really appreciate all of your efforts and your help as well. And yes, to the future, to protect our animals.
You're very welcome. And I'm always here if you need me.
Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. And folks, please check out the companion article, which will be available on the organicview.com website, which will also have information about Cecil's Law, as well as some of the other things that we've spoken about during this interview. And by all means, please check out Bloodlines, the movie, as well as the upcoming March for Lions, which will be coming up in November of this year. Thank you so much for tuning in. This has been June Stoyer with the Organic View Radio Show. Have a great afternoon, everyone.